Welcome to the Envision Crystal Clear podcast. Our host, Lisa McGarity, with us. Lisa, it's been busy for you. You have classes lined up. It's that time of year where people are going to want to connect with their family members. It's the holiday season. Do you brace yourself for this?
I love this time of year. I'm excited about it, Brian. I love to get together with people when they get a little bit sentimental around the holidays and they're thinking about their loved ones in spirit. It's one of my favorite times of year.
So this is also a time to embrace the gifts that you have as well. You're going to have a lot of people sitting at the table, perhaps as family members that you aren't used to seeing sit at the table and new energy is there. That's the time to practice what you can do. And you have a class, which I want to get into before we start talking. This class is November 29th?
Coming up right on November 29th in the evening, 6 o'clock, we're doing the Art of Spellcasting class. So it's a class about magic. It's going to be really fun.
So do all your classes start at a beginner's level, unless otherwise specified?
Absolutely. I like to do things in a way where anybody can come. It doesn't matter what your background is or what your previous experiences are. I feel like beginners get something out of it, and advanced people usually get something out of it too.
What would somebody that goes to this particular class, the Art of Spellcasting, learn, especially if they do have a little bit of a grasp on magic?
Yeah, I mean, if you have been curious about magic, if you're that person that sages your home or lights a candle when you have a problem or need a little help, then this would be a place to refine those skills and get even better at it.
Is it like sports? Is magic like sports where you have two people who have an excellent ability to play baseball? They both hit home runs, but their swings are completely different. Is it like that where you can learn something just by learning about a different way somebody else does things?
Well, leave it to you to bring up a sports analogy. But now that you say that, I think magic might be. I usually say it's like music. You know, anybody can sing Happy Birthday.
Sure.
Any human being can sing, but some people sing opera. And it doesn't matter how many lessons I take, I'm never going to sing opera, right? So I think with magic, yeah, maybe it is. You know, you can have two different people who are both great hitters, but they're going to hit a little different way. They're going to have a different swing. They're going to have a different stance, right? They may throw the pitcher off, depending.
And that's a way to learn. And look at you with the sports references.
There, yeah. I played Little League, believe it or not. I did. So, yeah. I mean, I think with magic, it really is about figuring out where your power is at and how to bring it into the world.
Now, a lot of people come to you because they want relationship advice and help with setting the tone of their relationships. But when we say the word relationship, we're always usually talking about a sexual relationship, a romantic relationship. This time of year, we have to think about different types of relationships and family.
You mean like in-laws?
In-laws. A huge problem in a lot of people's lives. Does that work differently in the magic world? Are there different crystals for those types of relationships? Can you categorize magic relationships by the magic that you use?
I mean, love is love, right? And it's important but challenging all around, whether it's friendships, our family of origin, our in-laws, our neighbors, our whatever the case may be. Human beings drive each other crazy, right? Even when we love each other, or maybe especially when we love each other, right? So yes, I think if you're getting together with your in-laws, there's ways to go about it. All the standard love stones also work for family relationships. So if you've got rose quartz in your pocket, you still have an advantage, right? Or something calming, so you don't lose your cool, right? So you can, you know, stay calm, cool, and collected in the midst of things. You know, I know some old-fashioned tricks where you put everybody's name in the sugar bowl so that we all speak sweetly to each other. That's one way to...
Really?
Yes. That's one fun way to make the afternoon go by.
You write everybody's name?
It's an old... I wouldn't say I personally need to do it.
The person that...
But yes, if you have a gathering, right, so you can put everyone's name in the bottom of the sugar bowl. Actually... I actually also know of a little trick from back in the day when people used to put sugar packets in their coffee. I guess we still do it sometimes, right? So in the office, you would put everybody's name in the sugar packets. right? So that everyone would get along and be sort of like copacetic at work. Now, these kind of tricks are actually, we would say, gray magic because, mm-hmm. you know, kind of doing things without people's knowledge or maybe without their permission. So, you know, I would say tread carefully, but you could also make it a fun thing where everyone gets together in the family and adds their name to the sugar ball as a kind of a pledge that we're going to speak sweetly and get along.
That was a question I was going to ask, too, is how does magic work when the person you're applying it to either doesn't believe in it or even know about it? Is that within the legal bounds as long as you're not hurting someone?
I mean, I definitely feel like there is such a thing as intention, and it's better to not crisscross other people's free will. I'm a big free will advocate. So, you know, I don't think that we should go around trying to make, you know, Aunt Susie and Uncle Jack different people. Okay, they're going to be who they are. But if you just want to have a fun afternoon that's pleasant and you throw a little energy toward that intention, I don't see that as really truly doing any type of harm. To me, that's fair game.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like there's any malintent whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, there are crystals for specific finding love.
Yes.
Are there crystals for finding peace within a home with blood relatives?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, one of the best things you can do, it's been a little bit hard to find lately, but I love a stone called celestite. It's one of the natural light blue crystals, and it's a very peaceful vibration, and it can really, having one of those pieces in the home can bring everybody sort of into a nice, harmonious rapport. I also like angelite. Angelite is another blue crystal that's sweet, has a very soft energy, and that's another great choice just for helping everybody get along.
How would you apply that crystal in the home? Do you have to set the intention, your intention, to the crystal? Is there a specific place in the home to put it?
Right. So, I mean,
my family would throw them at each other.
Well, I was going to say it could be a weapon, but right? but hopefully not. I think whenever you're going to use something to change the energy in your home, you're going to think about the places like the kitchen. We often say the kitchen is the heart of the home. If you're the kind of family that really does eat in the dining room, I'd say put something in the dining room, right? I think it depends on the flow of your family and how people use the space where you live. But you'll know. We know where we all congregate the most, where everyone sort of hangs out and talks the most. That's probably the place you want your gemstones.
And how do you set the intention for the, was it crystalite?
Angelite is a beautiful, wonderful.
Crystalite is a delicious drink, by the way.
A delicious drink. Locale too, I hear. Right? So, but angelite and then celestite, I think, is what you were thinking of,
yes.
Which is a light blue crystal gemstone. Very beautiful. You know, for sure we can charge them the way we've discussed on other podcasts by clearing the stone, holding the stone, and vibrating the energy of your intention into it. That's definitely possible. And then, you know, where you place it, the placement of the stone can make a difference too. For instance, if you have it in the dining room and it's near everyone's family photo, that's going to add energy to that room and the space and really just affect everybody who enters that.
When you have a family member that's passed away, mm-hmm. right, and maybe there's a picture that overlooks the main room in the house, the living room, or the kitchen mm-hmm. for some, is there a particular stone that you could put out to ask for them to watch over and make sure that things are okay? See, like you had mentioned, you don't want to mess with somebody else's intention, but I've got plenty of strong-willed relatives on the other side that don't care about whose flow they're messing up.
They're just going to kind of assert themselves, right? And so are you wanting those people to look over you? Are you hoping they stop by?
Perhaps over a situation. Perhaps if you know that you have family members coming over where everybody doesn't get along, not everyone gets along, is it okay to ask a family member from the other side to help keep the peace? Is that messing with people's free will?
I mean, I think it's okay to do that. It would be the same thing as if they were standing in your kitchen and you said, oh, grandma, you know, help me out today. I hope today goes good.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think? Let's try to keep the energy good today. I don't see a problem with that.
Is there a particular stone to summon them?
I think rather than a stone in a situation like that, I would probably use a candle.
Okay.
That would be a nice time to light a white candle. Or, you know, in some parts of the world, some cultures, they would pour out a little drink or leave a plate of food for their loved ones in spirit. So if grandma liked to, you know, have a little glass of wine with her meal, give her a little glass of wine. Put that near her photo. She'll probably get a kick out of that. And the energy will for sure transfer to her. And then it's it's kind of like this. If I'm coming to your house, and I know you're Italian, and I'm sure you were brought up in a certain way that you never go to somebody's house without a gift, right?
Never,
you would never,
never,
right? Never, never. That would be the worst thing you could do. So it's the same thing, I think, when we're dealing with our loved ones in spirit. If we give a gift, it shows respect. And it makes it easier for them to come close.
Okay.
And it makes the whole exchange to be a real exchange, where we're not just asking, but we're also giving.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Lisa, there's plenty more to talk about. We'll get into that in later episodes. But with the store picking up, I know it's a really small space in Port Jeff, but there are a lot of people interested in purchasing stones this time of year. They can purchase online, right?
For sure. We have a lot of beautiful crystals right now available at our website, which is envisioncrystal.com. And you can also find me. I have my own site at lisamcgarrity.com, so you can check us out there for sure.
Is this the time of year where you want to book a reading with you before the holidays, for after the holidays?
Right. If you would like to give a gift as a reading, which is a fun thing to do, just give us a call and we will set you up. And at this point, the reading will occur after the holiday, yeah. But we can give you a nice gift certificate now.
Lisa, I appreciate it. Look forward to the next one.
Terrific. Thank you.